Well, we want to welcome you back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor at Brookside. It's always a joy to have Pastor Joe Helm in the radio studio with me. Pastor Joe, welcome back. We are excited to have you.
Well, thank you, Pastor Greg. Good to be here.
And you always make us think, but that's a good thing because we're living in a society today where a lot of people just fly by the seat of their pants, just whatever feels good and whatever the crowd's doing. But we need to be thinkers. We need to know what the Word of God has to say and follow that path.
Yeah, it is amazing how easily distracted believers in particular can get in their walk with the Lord. And it's amazing how we often will begin to think of God in terms that in our own mind and life are manageable. That is, we really don't understand and we really don't meditate on, or we're not conscious of God's, well, his transcendence, for one.
Right.
The fact that, you know, he's beyond the ordinary physical, human, material world here, but yet he's in it.
Mm-hmm.
He's imminent.
Mm-hmm.
And he operates in it, he exists in it, and yet he's transcendent. And
not to be compared with anything or anybody.
Yeah. And so he's just so far beyond our human comprehension that we often, because everything we do, we assimilate it into our lives. We take it in through our senses, and we use the facts and the feelings from this physical world from which to formulate our opinions and our images of things.
Right.
And the problem is that our images of God become so inadequate because we really like to think of them in terms of that which is reaffirming of our own of beliefs and opinions and experiences and feelings. And so, you know, we really often just remove ourselves from the awesomeness of God and the implications of his holiness and his righteousness.
Which is the reason I think that God told us in the second commandment not to make any graven image. In other words, nothing to represent him, because there's nothing even close to his representation.
Yeah, and actually that's as much as idolatry as if you were to take a block of wood or a piece of stone and carve something up. A.W. Tozer said, if we insist on trying to imagine him, we end up with an idol made not with hands but with thoughts.
Oh, okay.
And an idol of the mind is as offensive to God as an idol of the hand.
Isn't that an interesting statement?
Yeah. And what he was getting at in bringing up that subject in his little book, Knowledge of the Holy, he was getting at the fact that we are utterly and totally dependent upon God's self-disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, without his word, and of course, to a certain degree, creation.
Creation, right.
But creation speaks of God in terms of certainly the intricacies of his created things and perhaps some implications there as to his majesty and his knowledge, his omniscience and whatever. But the real specifics that he has chosen to reveal himself with and through is the Word of God, of course,
right,
the written Word, and then the Lord Jesus himself, the living Word. But without that self-disclosure, without God acting in terms of disclosing who he is, we would never know him.
Right, right.
Because all of our knowledge is built on our experience of this physical world.
Which is the reason that we who know him need to get his word everywhere, because people are going to worship something or somebody, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, because that is part of God's unique creation in man,
right,
is that we were made in the image of God. And there is this deep longing of the soul in every human being for that unknown, for returning to the author and the bishop of our soul, so to speak. And in fact, the Old Testament tells us that we were created with eternity in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the believer who, by God's Spirit, the truth has been illumined, the truth about who God is and who man is in relationship to God and what man has gone through in the fall and what man needs in order to be restored to a relationship with God. And in all of that, when a believer comes to know Christ, the believer has to be overwhelmed with and understand that it is his or her destiny to be conformed to the image of Christ. And that includes this life, not just in heaven.
Right.
In fact, Romans 8:29 tells us that whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's predestinating work, is he has declared that every believer will be conformed to the image of his son through the work of his spirit. And, you know, certainly, of course, the perfection of that is going to be one day when we die or are raptured and we put on immortality and the incorruptible and we are literally changed into our new body and we will see him as he is. But it is God's intention, his design, and his will that we be in the process of that transformation in the here and now.
So if we aren't changing to become more like Jesus Christ, then we're missing out on the whole reason that we're alive. I remember, Pastor Joe, I started a church in Albany, Georgia, and we called it Circle Baptist Church. And people would say, I've never heard of a church called Circle. Well, the idea was that your life is kind of like a circle, and you got four pieces to the pie. You've got your mental, your physical, your social, and your spiritual. And a lot of people just kind of leave the spiritual out, and they want to stretch the mental, physical, and social into a complete pie, but they're never able to fill that void that God has designed that can only be filled with the spiritual, with a relationship to God.
Yeah, and that is the part that's empty.
Yes,
and
exactly.
It has to be filled. And, you know, according to the Word of God, it is the Word itself that is that which fills it and mm-hmm. that which then the Spirit of God uses to and through which to reveal God.
Right, right.
And as we come to know God more and more, we will love him more and more. And those that love him more and more will want to please him more and more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And therefore, they will obey him more and more. And through that type of love, inspired faith and obedience, we bring glory to God in this world.
So it goes back to a relationship that is the key. Our love for him motivates us to want to obey him, want to please him, want to serve him.
Yeah, and it's an understanding. You know, you go back, and I can't help but think of verses of Scripture because that's what we have to do. We have to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly.
Mm-hmm.
The word there for dwell is the word for house, live in, settle in, and just the way we come in, and if we were to move into a new home, you know, we pull up with the moving van and
yep.
that new home is empty and we start unloading our stuff and we get the boxes in each room that are labeled for that room. And then for whatever days, weeks, months, years of time, it takes us to unpackage the boxes
right.
in order to settle in
right.
into
right.
each of those rooms. And it's the Word of God that as it dwells in our hearts and as we meditate on it, as the Spirit of God illumines it and brings us understanding and knowledge of really the incomprehensible God,
mm-hmm.
He allows His Spirit to reveal His Son to those that are His. And in fact, Jesus Himself said in Matthew 11 that no one knows the Father but the Son
mm-hmm.
and whomsoever the Son reveals Him.
Right, right.
And so the Lord Jesus is delighted, and this is his passion in his heart, to make the Father known through his word by the power and illuminating work of the Spirit. In fact, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, Paul is speaking there to the Corinthian believers, and he says, but we all with open face, that is unveiled face, that is mm-hmm. the face that sees spiritually now. We've had the blinders of unbelief lifted from our eyes, beholding as in a glass or in a mirror the glory of the Lord, that is, through the Word of God, We see with spiritual eyes. We see by the illuminating work of the Spirit, we see the glory of God. Mm-hmm. We see the glory of the Lord. And through that, we are changed. And the word there for changed is the word transformed. It's actually the Greek word that we get our English word metamorphosis.
From inside.
Yeah. It's a transformation. And the mm-hmm. picture there, every school child has heard the and seen the story of the caterpillar that goes into a cocoon, and after a number of weeks or months or whatever the period is, the cocoon breaks open and out comes a completely, utterly transformed, different
right,
creature.
Right.
You know, a gorgeous.
No similarity
beautiful.
At all.
No similarity
right,
at
right.
all. And that's the earthly picture mm-hmm. of the spiritual truth that God is communicating to us that he has in store for the ones that will take his word seriously and love that word and search that word and memorize that word and meditate on that word and ask God to reveal himself through that word to that believer who is utterly in love with God and desires to know God more, God says he will do that through his word.
And that's the one thing that Satan does not want people to do. Because he decided years ago, I don't love God, I don't want to worship him, I want to be worshiped. And so it just tears him out of the frame when people are trying to learn more about God and love God. And boy, I tell you, the system of this world is totally opposed to everything that we've been talking about.
Yeah, it's just amazing how easily Christians are deceived and distracted and discouraged from a complete and utter confidence and reliance and dependence and trust in the truth. Believers are so prone to wander off into their own thinking, into their own understanding, and with that, of course, it's just a downhill slide.
Right. It's kind of like walking away from God as Jonah did. But we're going to have to keep those thoughts until next time because we've run out of time. And it could be, if you're listening to us this morning, and the Lord has just sparked an interest like, yeah, this is what the Lord is doing in my life. And this is what I'm needing to see take place. Be sure to join us the next couple of times as you begin to understand how this transformation takes place. And how it is something that once it's happening, the joy of the Lord is so amazing and you just can't contain yourself and others around you are going to begin to say, wow, you've changed. How in the world did that happen? Well, that's the story we're going to be talking about the next time we get together. So till the next time, we trust the Lord will bless you in a fantastic way.